the series of seminars that we have on enterprise-wide optimization. And today we have especially the pleasure of having a seminar that's going to be given from the Polytechnic University in Catalonia. Just for your general information, the Polytechnic University of Catalonia has been very active for the last 20 years in the areas of planning and scheduling, in particular the area of batch scheduling. Many of you may recognize the name of Professor Luis Pugener. He's the one who really sort of put together the group. And today we have, again, the pleasure of having Professor Antonio Espuña. He's the one who's actually leading the group there. And then also we have a combined presentation with the student, Dr. Kefa Haila, who just finished her PhD degree. And let me just say a few words about the two speakers. So first of all, Professor Espuña, he's professor of chemical engineering in the department there, and he's also involved in the Center for Process and Environmental Engineering. He obtained his degree in Spain. It's called industrial engineering. It's different than industrial engineering here. It means basically more like, let's say, a bit more oriented towards mechanical. And he obtained his PhD degree in 1994, working with Professor Pugener. Professor Espuña has been very active in the area. He's been working in problems related to supply chain, life cycle assessment, uncertainty, and then, as I mentioned before, specifically also batch design, batch scheduling. And he's also actually done some nice work in the area of control of distillation columns. In fact, he's produced more than 90 publications. He has over 3,000 citations, and he supervised more than 20 different theses. And I should mention, in terms of his position, aside from being professor at the Polytechnic University in Catalonia, he's a delegate of the Working Party of the Computer-Aided Process Engineering, a group of the European Federation of Chemical Engineering. That's sort of a major body of chemical engineering in Europe. And the other important position that he has is a member of the Executive Committee of Eureka. Eureka is sort of the counterpart of CASH here in the U.S. in terms of educational software for process engineering. Then, very briefly, about Dr. Kefa Haila. As you can see, she's actually born in Gaza, in Palestine, so she actually did her studies there in civil engineering, and after she completed her studies, she went to Europe, where she did a master's degree in environmental studies, was actually at the Autonomous University of Barcelona, together with some universities in Germany and in Sweden. She worked with Professor Espuña in the topic that we're going to be seeing today, and she's currently a global supply chain planner of the company Coty. Coty is actually a major international company for beauty products. It's actually headquarters here in New York. Okay, so without further ado, the presentation is going to be in two parts, and we'll have first Dr. Kefa Haila giving us the presentation. So, Kefa, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Professor Grossman, for this kind presentation. Hello, everyone. Good evening in the other part of the world. Good morning in the other part as well. I will talk today about global supply chain coordination with optimal integration of third parties. This talk will be more about supply chain management, especially at the tactical level, where different actors are involved in the decision-making process. Here's an example of a supply chain from a global point of view, with its network of facilities distributed in different sites and interconnected together with different distribution links. The decision-making system can be centralized when the whole decisions are synchronized under the goals of a central decision maker. However, when different enterprises participate as main decision makers in the supply chain, then the supply chain is decentralized, so that the tactical decisions have to be synchronized under the different goals of the different participants. Each enterprise will really seek to optimize its individual revenues, regardless of how the other participants may react, especially when they are surrounded with competitive third parties, so that complexity arises and the whole system becomes hard to handle. multi-enterprise supply chain coordination becomes a spotlight in the recent years. I mean, I found more than 3,000 references about multi-enterprise coordination from just 2017. The recent work captured the interaction among the supply chain authorities through coordination built on cooperative and non-cooperative approaches. For cooperative approaches, the participating enterprises agree on forming a coalition towards a common objective function based on sharing the risk, sharing the profits. Even it has been extended to multi-agent systems and multi-level coordination between the different hierarchical levels of the supply chain management. For non-cooperative approaches, enterprises seek independently to optimize their individual revenues. Game theory has been implemented so far using Nash equilibrium and Stackelberg game. Nash equilibrium can be implemented when the roles of the game players are symmetric, so there is no leader and there is no follower. In such situation can be applied when there are competitive players for limited supply and demand. Typically, the Stackelberg game can be applied when the roles of the game players are non-symmetric, so there is a leader and there is a follower. It can be applied when there is contrasting objectives between different players. Recently, most of the work can be divided in two lines, in bi-level optimization. So they divide the problem into two problems. The leader model can be used as the upper level problem, and the follower model is at the lower level problem. The recent research is going to solve this by the complexity that arises from these bi-level optimization problems. Another work, they propose coordination contracts. We also did some work on this line to solve the contrasting and the conflicting objectives between the game players using Stackelberg game. I mean, however, cooperative approach is needed to this situation. Why non-cooperative approaches can lead us to this situation? Our problem statement for this talk consists of a multi-site, multi-product supply chain with its own equilibrium, surrounded by third parties and external suppliers. And this talk will be divided into two parts. The first part, we will integrate the third parties as part of the coordinated global system. And then this work will be extended in the second part of this talk to include the decisions of the external suppliers. I will call them along the presentation as external third parties. The current tactical model focuses on the optimization from a centralized perspective, disregarding the detailed information of these third parties. They used to represent them as fixed parameters, such as price or capacity in the decision-making process. However, this is not sufficient, especially when a global master plan is required, in which the whole decisions are affected by the performance of these third parties. This leads us to the main objective of this work, which is to develop a global coordination generic model able to optimize the overall supply chain planning problem. The methodological framework is based on incorporating the detailed information of the third parties as full supply chain management problems in the decision-making process of the whole system. The coordination is achieved through the supply-demand coherence between their production equilibriums. A global coordinated model will be developed based on partitioning the coordinated supply chain into equilibriums, forming a coordinated supply chain of multiple equilibriums. The main enterprise and the third party supply chains agree to form a coalition towards optimizing the objective function of the whole system, the summation of their objective functions. In this approach, will be compared with the traditional approach, and the tactical and economic decisions are obtained and also compared. A general coordinated tactical model is developed. Unlike the traditional tactical modeling, the coordinated model deals with the global supply chain as partitions with multiple equilibriums, including the equilibriums of the third parties. To do so, a set of a clause is proposed correlating each activity to its corresponding supply chain. The first equation here represents the coordination between the production echelon belonging to the different participants, in which the internal demand in the production echelon of the main enterprise is less than or equal the production in the third party's echelon using resource R, depending on the production recipe. Actually, incorporating the third parties as complexity to the model formulation, this depends on its production recipe, which is represented in the first equation here, in which the traditional approach is never taken into account. The objective function is to minimize the total cost of the whole system, which is the cost, the raw material cost, production cost, storage cost, and the distribution cost. The advantages of the proposed model have been implemented using real data case study of multi-echelon, multi-product, polystyrene production supply chain belonging to the main enterprise, feeded with energy from third parties. The polystyrene production supply chain produces two products to three markets. Current approaches deal with the energy, the third part as fixed supply from third parties decided by the main enterprise. However, using our global coordination approach, the energy enterprise is represented as a full supply, as a full multi-site supply chain, as we can see here. It's an energy supply chain using six types of energy generation, using four raw materials and biomass, feeding the three polystyrene production plants. Then this global model is solved using, on this case study, and the detailed master plan obtained over the raw material purchase, production, storage, and distribution levels for 10 time periods. To study how the coordination affects the tactical decisions to optimization scenarios are solved for this case study, and the results are analyzed and compared, the current practice and the coordination approach. Starting from the polystyrene production, it is noted that using the current model, PL2 and PL3 are overloaded up to their production capacity, while PL1 is kept almost shut all of the time period. This bias behavior forms a pressure on the energy generation plants feeding PL2 and PL3, which may result in invisible solutions in case the energy generation plants exceed their capacities. However, if we see here the polystyrene production resulted from the coordination system have been reallocated among the three production plants in order to reduce the load on the energy generation plants. For example, using the coordination approach we see here, to produce product B, all production plants operate, giving the energy generation supply chain the opportunity to exploit more energy generation choices, resulting in reducing the total cost, as we will see in the next slide. So the coordination approach also affects renewable energy generation activities. Current approaches lead to operate the gasification plant G2, which is an expensive choice, while our coordination approach gives the energy generation enterprise enough flexibility to exploit cheaper choices. We analyze more the economic behavior. It can be observed that the coordinated supply chains behave in favor of the total objective function, unlike the traditional approaches. The distribution cost of the polystyrene supply chain slightly increased by 2%, but simultaneously, the energy generation supply chain improves the savings of the raw material acquisition and energy generation total cost by 5% and 8% simultaneously for the same market requirements. Although the coordination leads to slightly increase in the polystyrene supply chain total cost, but a high saving, almost 7%, in the energy generation supply chain can be achieved. Consequently, a trade-off can be seen among the decisions of both enterprises. This trade-off leads to 2.5% savings in the total cost in 10-time period. Unlike the current approaches, our proposed coordinated approach results in less total cost and less resources consumption for the same market requirements. Next, this global coordination framework will be extended to incorporate the decisions of the external competitive third parties through optimal integration of their complex policies. So here's the second part of the talk. The main objective of this part is to develop joint collaboration tools with the external third parties in a coordinated supply chain management environment. Here is the coordination, the coordinated model, the coordinated supply chain that is proposed in the previous part. It has been extended to consider the interaction of the external competitive parties, I mean the external suppliers that we saw before. The methodological framework is based on incorporating the commercial strategies of the competitive third parties as joint collaboration tool in the coordinated supply chain. The coordination with the external third parties is achieved through the trade-off between their marketing and the coordinated supply chain operations. Different optimization and simulation models will be developed based on several approximations, then a comparison between the traditional approach and the proposed approaches and their effect on the tactical decisions will be analyzed in detail. The tactical model developed in the previous part is extended to integrate the decisions of the external third parties as part of the decision-making process of the whole system. The global model is extended to compute the raw material cost purchased from the competitive third parties, which is based on the trade-off between the price and the quantity demanded by the main production supply chain. To do so, a subset of D is proposed to represent the external third parties in the model formulations. And since the price policy is a basic element of commercial strategies, it will be considered as a collaboration tool with the global supply chain decision maker and to capture the competence among the external parties. So to achieve a more realistic evaluation of those prices policies, in each marketing situation, different pricing approximation models are proposed and compared to estimate each price policy for each third party based on fixed, piecewise, and polynomial trends. The real price policy of each third party is approximated to an average price versus quantity demanded. In this case, the quantity demanded is considered perfectly elastic on the time horizon T. Based on the price elasticity of demand, a polynomial pattern is adjusted. CAR here is a parameter depending on the initial price, resource capacity, and price elasticity of demand. A is the polynomial grade. Different polynomial grades here can be implemented. Then the piecewise pricing model is based on assigning different prices to the quantity demanded per time. Different prices zones can be defined by each third party depending on the quantity demanding along the time horizon. To allocate each quantity to its corresponding transfer price, binary variables are considered. The resource quantities and prices constraints are identified for each pricing zone. It is assumed that the quantity demanded for each third party can be ordered once at each time period. This means that Q is equal to Q1 or Q2 or Qn. Then the third party's resources transfer prices are calculated along the planning time horizon. These mathematical formulations result in linear programming in case of the fixed model, nonlinear programming model in case of polynomial, and mixed integer nonlinear programming model in case of piecewise pricing. These models will be implemented to a case study the polystyrene and energy generation case study, the one that we discussed in the first part. Here are the third parties that will be considered in this study, the coal and the biomass raw material suppliers of the energy generation plant and raw material suppliers of the polystyrene production plant. Each external third party is assumed to have its real price policy. Different price approximation models are proposed to approximate each price policy for each competitive third party based on average, quartic, polynomial, and linear polynomial and piecewise price approximation. The solution procedure here is divided into many steps. The optimization step involves solving each pricing model separately under the objective function of minimizing the total supply chain cost. The optimization step here is to obtain the optimal quantity demanded from each third party each time period. Then these optimal resources purchase flows are allocated to the real prices each time period. The pricing models are then sold using the optimal resources and the real prices over the planning time horizon to obtain the associated real total cost. These real total costs are compared with the pricing total cost resulted from the optimization step. So we compare the real cost with the pricing total cost in order to find which is the best price approximation. The effects of the price modeling on the tactical decisions of both polystyrene supply chain and energy supply chain are analyzed and compared. The raw material purchase levels from the external third parties vary according to each pricing model, as we can see here. The trend of using discounting models in the case of piecewise and polynomial trends is to purchase raw materials, higher amounts of raw materials up to their supply capacity from the third parties each time period in order to get higher discounts, as we can see here in most of the discounting models. While using the traditional average approximation, the trend is to purchase from all suppliers all time periods, as its policy does not take into account any discounts. If we see the effects of the pricing approximation to the polystyrene production and storage activities, for example, the linear polynomial pricing model leads to overproduction of time periods T1, T3, and T5, while it leads to shut the polystyrene production plants at T4 and T10, so to follow the high raw material purchase levels at these time periods. This leads to stop producing and two, in which the market demands in these time periods will be satisfied from the stored excess amount in the previous time periods. To see the effects on the total cost, the total supply chain cost of each pricing model is obtained from the optimization model and compared with the total cost of the real policy. The real supply chain costs are obtained from the optimization-based simulation step and then compared. It can be noticed here that the piecewise pricing approximation results in the least real total cost, while the traditional average approximation leads to the worst decision resulting in the highest real total cost, as we see here. The model statistics show that the best price approximation requires, however, higher computational times compared with the average approximation model. An important point here arises is that how to find another fixed pricing approximation rather than the average one that leads to better decisions for lower real total cost with less computational time. So what we did here is that different fixed pricing approximation models are developed to estimate the third party's price policies based on the maximum price, the lowest price, and two average, and FS3 here is the average price approximation that we analyzed in the previous slides. The same is doing it repeated optimization and optimization-based formulation. We notice that The optimal raw material purchase order resulted from the fixed pricing model F4 leads to the best real total cost. So it does exist a fixed pricing model that leads to better approximation rather than the average approximation, which is not recommended. So to conclude, a global cooperative-based coordination model is developed considering the detailed characteristics of the third parties. The results show potential improvements in the global performance with less consumption of resources while meeting the same market requirements, incorporating the price policies as a way to represent external third parties' commercial strategies in the decision-making process allows them to participate as business partners and thus to compete in the global market. The results also reveal that the traditional average approximation is not recommended, while discounting strategies lead to better global performance. In this work can be considered an advance in the process system engineering and enterprise-wide optimization because of the flexibility of the proposed decision-making model and distribution approaches. Integrating the decisions of different actors allows them to share responsibilities and also to share risk so that this situation will not be happen. I would like also to mention here that we extend this work to consider decentralized situations under different competitive and uncertain scenarios. In many future work can be arrived from this work, such as decentralized optimization and competence. In this line, we did some work to analyze the quality of the data, especially the shared data between the different actors, the environmental and social issues, and how these issues affect the global performance, and to develop more solution methodologies to solve the complex models. Here's some of our suggested references that have been extended from multi-participant supply chains and supply chain coordinations. Thank you very much. I give now the Professor Espunia will continue the second part of this talk.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Maybe let me give you an applause for the interesting talk. So. Maybe Professor Antonio Espunia will take over now, but before we do that, are there any sort of quick questions? I know Paulio is jumping to ask a question. They're not quick. Okay. Then let's leave them maybe at the end, okay? Any quick question at this point? Okay. Yeah, let's maybe then do the following. Let's turn it over again to Professor Antonio Espunia. And again, he's going to be concentrating more on the aspect related to uncertainty. And then at the end, you know, hopefully we'll have some time to have some discussion. Okay? So, Antonio, it's all yours.
So, Ignacio, thank you very much for inviting us to be here even in the distance. And also, thank you very much for this nice introduction. In order to complement a little bit this talk about the main topic that was the origin of this invitation, I have just prepared a few slides in order to put this research topic on the framework of the work that we are doing here at in Barcelona UPC. So I just prepare a short presentation. Even it's 29 slides. I more than 20 of them. I think I removed them, so the number is there, but not really 29 slides. First of all, to introduce the GEPIMA group, I should start by saying that this was founded by Professor Luis Puchaner, as Ignacio Grossman already mentioned, and that during these years of work, a lot of people have been going through this group. I just highlighted in the slide the people that has contributed in the specific slides I would like to present now. So first of all, of course, Kifa Haila. And, I think that Dr. Zamarripa, that was in Carnegie Mellon in making a postdoc, also make some presentation also on this work. The general topic is about how to manage uncertainty in process and supply chain planning. And this is a long-term project that is founded by the Spanish Ministry of Economy and Competitiveness. And, well, going to specifics, here it is. The main point is about how to manage supply chains in a certain scenario. Try to surpass the classical approach that is typically based on hierarchical, sequential, pyramidal decision making, where each one of the decision levels imposes decisions and constraints over lower levels, and while each decision level maintains its own objectives and manages its own control variables. So this is the typical hierarchical approach that is typical from any human organization, and that is reflected in the current standards that are used in most companies for company global compliance management. And the point is that how to be sure that the optimal solutions of the individual levels are the same as the optimal solution of the individual problems. So obviously, with the current practices and current resources, we can imagine an alternative that is integration of all these levels in a monolithic structure. The trade-off for doing that is really important from a sequential approach to an integrated approach. In the many examples have been published, I obviously take it one from our experience, saying that we can enhance corporate level about 50% with this kind of solutions. The problem is that if we address this monolithic structure, obviously the mathematical programming is large and complex, and well, sometimes may be difficult or even infeasible to solve. And additionally, we should consider that since we are making decisions at different levels, we should question which is the added value of this approach, further than the mathematical elements and the final number, in terms of which has been the simplifying assumptions that we have to assume to create this monolithic structure, and obviously which is the uncertainty effect on these decisions, since at a certain moment, if we consider the uncertainties that should be considered at any decision level, finally, we are not sure about which is the real applicability of the solutions that we are providing. So this is what has been named as the integration paradox, and well, has been recognized from years ago, and is based on several issues that should be solved in the general, and then even recognized years ago, I think that there is still a lot of work to be done on them. One of them, these issues is the structural differences in the models that are currently used at each hierarchical level. And this makes that in some cases, in most cases, the current solutions that we are facing are totally different at each hierarchical level. Even in all cases, we are addressing mathematically optimization problems. The second one is the lack of proper information interface between models. Each one of the levels is difficult to, sometimes maybe difficult to communicate with the rest of the levels. And the other one is how the new information is arriving to our system and how this information is propagated along the system. And obviously, even and in spite of the effort that our community is doing and the success of these efforts in many cases, the fact is that we are addressing more and more complicated problems, so more powerful and reliable mathematical optimization tools are required. In order to address all these issues, we are following a certain line, a certain research line that has is based on the identifying common elements. So the first question is, which are the common management objectives that we can address or we can consider at each one of these hierarchical levels? And, well, we can try to identify a common objective, but only in the abstract sense of this common objective. In general, we should take the best profit of our current flexibility, whichever the level it is. So we should also agree on a common metric, which is the best metric, which is maybe economic, maybe with other terms, but which is the best metric to assess our objectives. And obviously, we should know which are the elements available to each one of the managing is level, and which is the range of how these elements are can be considered. And again, we can find an abstract statement. We should talk about variables. We should talk about continuous variables. We should talk about integer variables. And this is the basis of any mathematical approach to represent this problem and to solve them. After that, we should also consider which is the common working scenario, if it's a common scenario. And obviously, we should agree on the fact that we have a dynamic situation with unexpected events and incidents at all the decision-making levels. And of course, this is one of the topics that Kifa has been addressing in her talk, we have to address the elements that are outside our decision-making capacity, that is, which are the rest of the world role in our decision-making. So we should address competition with other partners, other supply chains, other systems. So, in general, which is the approach? Well, the approach is to find, our approach is to try to find an equivalent approach and the equivalent formulation for all the problems along the different elements in our pyramid, in our hierarchy of decision making. And in this sense, we should we have been working and addressing open issues like vertical integration, uncertainty management, market globalization, and the role of the third parties. That is one of the elements, the main element of this talk, and also to address multi-objective analysis. In order to make it short, I would like just to mention some of these open issues related with vertical integration. They are on the slides that are available, I assume, for all of you. So how to enhance process performance and flexibility by including one-level knowledge in the other levels, decision-making, like trying to introduce operational knowledge at the decision-making level, but introducing knowledge, not introducing the whole formulation of the problem at each step. So in this way, we should try to integrate the different hierarchical levels, but not to integrate to put together all the formulations, but to ensure the consistency and feasibility of the models across all the hierarchical levels and across all the time scales. When talking about uncertainty, that is one of the main elements that the currently our community is working with. Well, one of the main points is how to manage this. We have a lot of tools to manage it, but one of the points that we are trying to address specifically is how to extend the scope of the decision of the supply chain management approaches under uncertainty by considering a new source of uncertainty, that is the competition. This is the behavior of the competitors that obviously is one of the elements that should be managed. We do not have control of their decisions, but then we should consider their decisions as a source of uncertainty. And in this sense, the market globalization also presses us to consider third parties that can be managed, as Kifa has explained, as a cooperative or in a competitive way. And finally, we have to talk about how to change our multi-objective optimization paradigm. In order to move from the typical multi-objective approach that is just ready to all one objectives, to introduce also objectives from the different entities that we are forced to interact with. And in this sense, our approach basically is based on integrating these new objectives and integrating the same or trying to put together the different formulations in a common language in order to be able to put together the same problem at a single element. So this is how we are managing, or we are trying to manage this problem. Obviously, we have some critical points still working with them, and probably for many years we will work working with them. But the main objective is the development of a general decision support framework for operational analysis of process and their uncertainty to further explore not only the flexibility, but also the uncertainty itself, taking advantage of this uncertainty characterization for getting more efficient and robust decision making. So this is how we are trying to manage to check the equivalences between, let's say, the basic decision making representation at the equipment unit level, to try to manage the whole supply chain, with making the equivalences between the objectives of the different equipment units and the different plants or production center, and try to get a single approach. So just with this slide, I would like to represent these equivalences. So if we compare the scheduling view of a plant with the control view of the same plant, we can try to find in the conceptual point of view, a lot of equivalent elements that we can put together. And from these elements that we can put together, we can fill our global model. And from this global model, and try to instantiate this model, exploiting these equivalences between the elements that are managed at the scheduling level and the elements that are managed at the control level, we should be able to exploit each one of these levels with the same approach. And this is what was initially proposed in one work that was published years ago already, and this is what we are now continuing do it all, not only at this level, but also integrated in this framework, also the planning and the supply chain management and the coordination of different supply chains that are operated under different stakeholders. And this is mainly what I was expected to explain to you in these few minutes. And from this, I would like to open a discussion on this approach, and in, of course, on the specific elements of this approach that has been introduced by Kifa. So this is what I would like to explain to you.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Antonio. And, I think we do have now time for questions, and probably Bernard is eager to ask some extended questions. So, probably it's all yours.
Thank you for the great presentation. I had the opportunity to be at the ESCAPE meeting last year, and I must say that I saw several of the posters and presentations of the group, and it's very inspiring for us working in supply chain. So thank you for that. First, my questions are for Kefa. So my first question would be about the information. You are assuming that you know the models of the third parties and the company itself. Is that correct? And how is that assumption realistic in practice, and what's the minimum information that you need from a third party to integrate these models?
Okay, thanks for your question. Actually, we assume that we have perfect information about third parties according to our statistical data, according to the statistical market. We know some knowledge about the third parties. The more information that we need is their pricing range. So we don't know exactly their price, but we know their prices, statistical data according to the market. So we try to incorporate them. The model depends to a large extent on the information that we have according to our knowledge from the market situation.
So what we say is the minimum information that you require from a third party or external party, because you will not know their model, so you will not know their objective function, for example, or you will not know their specific.
Or you will not know their.
Sorry.
So
we know some knowledge. It depends on the knowledge that we already have about the third party, but we don't know exact knowledge. We know some knowledge about their pricing ranges. We know some knowledge about the products they produce. We know some knowledge about the capacities of their production according to the data that we perceive from the market. We don't know exact information, but we know some information about them.
Okay. Thank you. So a second question would be about this price approach. That it seems to me that when you're trying to find this price, you're trying to find, in a way, the Lagrange multiplier of this exchange of equilibrium between the sell and the purchase. So my question is it really related to that Lagrangian approach? And why haven't you tried a Lagrangian approach instead of trying to solve this nonlinear, non-convex model for this approach?
Yeah, this is a good question. Thank you. Actually, we didn't need, because we have solved the mixed integral nonlinear program in 5 seconds. So we didn't need to add more complexity and to solve it with another program. With 5 seconds, we are okay.
Uh-huh. But that
would be interesting to try to reduce this time, this computational time applying the Lagrangian method and to reduce it. It would be interesting.
Uh-huh.
We didn't do it.
Because I think it's something that's worth looking into it, because the resulting model that you have is non-convex, so both the NLP and the MNLP are non-convex, and you're using local solvers to find that pricing, and then maybe that there could be a better price in that sense, and I don't know if decomposing and using a Lagrangian approach, would you arrive to the same prices? Would be interesting to check.
Yeah, it would be. But you know, the purpose here is to compare between these different pricing approximations. So that was our objective, more than the solution strategy, more than proposing a solution method. We want to propose the approximation method and to make comparisons. That's why in most of the methodology we use comparing methods. So it's a comparison procedure more than proposing a new solution method. But it would be interesting to use a linearization method, for example, to solve the price approximation, the piecewise one.
Okay.
Thank you.
I just want to have one more, if I may. So I just want to understand, you mentioned the stage, the competitive and non-competitive approach, and within the competitive, we find the bi-level approach, which is what I've always heard, also repeated, but could you explain to me a little bit how a bi-level is competitive, because when you're acknowledging the follower's model into your own model as a set of constraints, do you want to, in a way, cooperate and optimize both models at the same time?
Actually, we have another work that we propose a methodology to solve the bi-level model. I can talk a little bit now about it. We solve the competence of the third parties within the bi-level model, but the main enterprises, the upper level and the lower level, are the leader and follower. They are not competing. Each one of them are competing with the third party of the other one. So we assume that the follower is the one that is selling the. I mean, it's a very complex situation where each one of them has another third party. They have another alternative of buying or selling this the contrasting products, which we have transfer price as a point of conflict. So one of them, he wants with, to purchase with lower price, the other one to sell with higher price. So to solve this conflict, we propose a bi-level model where the one is buying is the leader, assuming that he's the leader, the one is selling is the follower, and then we find out what is the best win-win transfer price under different uncertain and competitive scenarios. We also reverse the game players' rules, so we give the seller as the leadership, and we give the buyer the followership, and we found out that the role the being the leader is not the best option. It is not. It does not lead to the best solution. We did some work in this line. Interesting work. It's already in the references, in the suggested references.
Okay, thank you. I will look into more into that. Thank you for that.
All right, thank you.
Welcome.
Any, let's see, first of all, are there any questions out there from the audience who's connected? Anybody would like to ask a question? Okay, how about here? Any questions, comments? Maybe let me ask a question to Antonio. So, Antonio, you gave sort of a big picture on both the integration and then in particular the issue of incorporating uncertainty. And you do mention, for example, robustness as being, you know, one of the desirable outcomes. Can you comment in the type of models that you determined? Have you had experience in using both robust optimization versus, say, stochastic programming with a two-stage or multi-stage? Can you comment on, if you wish, the suitability of those two approaches for these type of problems?
Well, actually, we have been using several approaches already proposed for different different ways to address this uncertainty. And well, when the mathematical model is already clear, probably this the complexity, the mathematical complexity of any one of the approaches is. Let's say has the counterpart of the quality of the or the difficulty of the problem they are addressing. You are using a robust approach, and you are considering which is your robustness when you are talking about let's say a minimum approximation or minimum performance that you are requiring, and so on. This is one of the points that should be considered. Sorry.
Yeah, no, we can hear you, yeah.
But one of the things that we are trying to address here is when the how to create the model of uncertainty also. So which is how one of the questions that was addressed before is about that. How do we know the expected performance of the competitors and so on? This is really a question that obviously we can manage at the theoretical level, but at the practical level, the main point that my current conclusion is that we should create, let's say, meta models in order to be able to characterize this behavior of the competitors in such a way that we can introduce it in a generic tool that is not necessarily solving this problem using mathematical programming approaches, because well, the generic model that we should create is too complicated. This is my approach, maybe because we are not good enough in terms of applications of mathematical programming, but this is what we are concluding at this moment when we try to solve realistic problems that takes into account this uncertainty. Obviously, multiple stage stochastic approaches are giving us academically good solutions, But at the end, the realization of the uncertainty makes that the assessment of these solutions usually are difficult to put in the correct way, and this is one of the points that is addressing us in a different direction.
Okay. Thank you again. Any other questions? Maybe one last, okay, for the curious. In the case study that you presented, I think it was polystyrene, was it? The question is,
yeah.
were those real data that you used for that case study, or was it more or less a made-up case study?
Thank you for your question. The data we obtained from previous PhD thesis directed by Professor Spunia, we have also from different sources we got the data. We didn't find all the data in one source, so we have to search in different sources, and as I said in the PhD, one of the PhD thesis that they were analyzing the biomass and the coal.
I think one of the reasons I'm asking the question is because I would think that theoretically the framework you presented looks quite nice, but to get the actual data might not be probably such a trivial thing to do, especially when you have multiple actors and so forth. But in any way, maybe on that tone, since we're almost reaching the end, let me again thank you very much, both Keifa and Antonio, for a very interesting presentation. And again, thank you, everybody, for coming here. Okay, well, last round of applause. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.